As we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out.
Beloved, you're about to listen to a message by Pastor Prince Laye. Pastor Prince Laye is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Someone on your left and on your right. Amen. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Oh, are you excited at all? Say Christos Convention. Oh, come on. Announce Christos Convention. Say it is all about Jesus. Say it is all about Jesus. God richly bless you. Amen. Yesterday was fantamaglorious. Oh. I said yesterday was fantamaglorious. Today will be cocalistically good. Wow. Amen. Yeah, we bless the Lord. And today we are going to go to the communion table. Anytime I see the communion table, then I become excited. Because this is the victory of Jesus. Aside all that Jesus did, if he had not died, the work would not have been done. The Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Preaching cannot forgive sin. Miracles cannot forgive sin. Signs and wonders cannot forgive sin. Feeding 5,000 couldn't forgive sin. It only took the blood. I said the blood. That is why you and I, we have assurance of salvation. We have assurance, amen. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Are you excited? We look at Jesus, the fact that he is the Messiah. And we have been trying to investigate, amen. This time and now, we don't want anybody to come and confuse us. We want to go into the Bible by ourselves. And so we entered into the Bible by ourselves. And we have established that Jesus Christ is the Messiah because, number one, he fulfilled all the messianic offices or roles. He was the only one who was able to walk in all those roles. And we said those messianic roles were four. The Jewish were expecting the Messiah who operate in four different roles. Number one, we said the Messiah has to be a what? Say a prophet. Come on, say a prophet. Number two, the Messiah has to be a what? A priest. Say a priest. And number three, the Messiah will have to be a king. Amen. So today we are looking at the last one. All this make up just one point that I'm trying to establish. That Jesus occupied the messianic role. And that is one of the signs that shows that he is the Messiah. So the number four office that Jesus occupied as the Messiah, which is very, very significant for our salvation, is the role or the office of the deliverer. Come on, everyone say deliverer or savior. Say deliverer. Say savior. That's why I love the song the choir ministered tonight. Let's clap for the choir. The song says that savior, the one who saves, I'm here to worship you. Is that not it? Good. So we are looking at Jesus as the redeemer. Or the deliverer, the deliverer, the savior, the mighty man, whoever must be the Messiah or the Christ, aside being a priest, aside being a king, aside being a prophet, he must be able to save. If he cannot save, then he doesn't qualify to be followed as the Messiah. So all the other religious leaders, we realize that they couldn't even save themselves. Not even to talk of saving other people. But tonight, we want to enter into the scriptures and do a little Bible exegesis to break down the Bible to see whether Jesus is also a deliverer. Romans chapter 11, the verse number 26. For Monday, I mentioned this scripture. Romans 11, verse 26. There was a statement concerning the deliverer.
And
we are all reading. Everyone, one go. One go. We are all reading it. One go. And so, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Say, all Israel shall be saved. Israel over here represents the church. Say, the church. So you and I, we are part of Israel. Amen. So all rescue shall be saved. All Christians shall be saved. May you be saved in the name of Jesus. I said, may you be saved in the name of Jesus. Salvation is coming to your house. He said that because there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from the people. So this is also a prophecy that a certain deliverer will come. And this scripture was referring to an Old Testament statement about the coming of a deliverer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, I explained to you that anytime you see Zion, Zion represents heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, Zion represents heaven. It says that, for you have come unto Mount Zion. We are all released. I want to be a good Christian. So I want us to be reading. Read along with me and be blessed. Amen. There's a blessing in just reading the Bible according to Revelation chapter 1. It says, blessed are those that open and those that read. So opening and reading already gives you a blessing anytime. One go. It says what? Let's go. But ye are come unto Mount Zion. Come on. What is Mount Zion? Unto the city of the living God. What is Mount Zion? The heavenly Jerusalem. What is Mount Zion? To an innumerable company of what? Angels. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So Mount Zion is the city of the Lord. It is a heavenly city. A heavenly Jerusalem. It is the company appearing in the midst of holy angels. So anytime we talk about Zion, we are talking about heaven. So when Romans 11:26 said, for the deliverer will come out of Zion, he's trying to say that whoever must be the Messiah must not be just an earthly person. He must have his roots from heaven. He must be a heavenly person. He must be someone who descended from heaven. And look at Jesus in John chapter 6, the verse number 38. Jesus himself proclaimed, he said, for I came down from, oh come on, he said, for I came down from, no religious leader has ever been bold to say, I came down from heaven. Jesus is the only one who said, I came down from heaven. It is only Jesus that angels have to come and announce that he's coming from heaven without any human being's sense. He's coming straight from heaven. Clap your hands for the Lord. He said, so I came down. So we have established that Jesus is the only one who came down from heaven. Then it means he is the deliverer that Romans was talking about. In Acts chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says that, and when they therefore were come together, and I want us all to read. Today I just want to study the Bible with you. Let's go, one go. He said, and when they therefore were come together, that is the disciples before Jesus will leave. Around this time, Jesus has resurrected and was about to go. He was about to ascend. But he has not yet ascended back to heaven. So he was having his last conversation with them.
So when they therefore were come together, let's continue one go. They asked of him, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Hallelujah. You see, you may not understand this scripture, but for you to understand this scripture, let me explain something to you. Go to Luke chapter 24, verse 21. In Luke chapter 24, verse 21, there were some of the disciples of Jesus who, by the third day, they were journeying, they were going somewhere. And the Bible says that they were going on the road called Emmaus. Everybody say Emmaus. Come on, say Emmaus. So that was a road, it's like Odoko road. Okay. They were on the road to Emmaus. There were two disciples. The Bible didn't give us their names, but they were one of the disciples. And look at what they were talking about. They were talking about Jesus. How he died. And how they killed him. And how they had faith that he was going to deliver them. Now, listen to me carefully. Look at what they are saying. One go. It's that, but we trusted. Everybody read with me. One go. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed or delivered Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since all these things happened. Today is the third day since he was killed. And as at this time, these people were not there to hear that Jesus has resurrected. There are other disciples who were going somewhere because Jesus, so they didn't know that it has been announced that Jesus has resurrected. So they were chatting, and Jesus changed his face and got close to them and asked them that what is going on? What are you people talking about? And they didn't know it was Jesus. So the Bible said they were explaining to Jesus. They said, are you the only new person in Jerusalem? And then they went on to explain to Jesus that there was a certain man who was called Jesus. He had been killed by the Romans. And they crucified him. And today is the third day. And we were hoping. We thought the way he could turn water into wine. The way he could turn the bread and multiply and feed thousands of people. The way he could walk on the sea. The way he could talk to the storms and the seas. The way he was able to raise somebody who was dead. One, they were carrying the coffin. One, she was laid in a house. Another was buried for 4 days. And he could do all these things. We thought he was the one who was going to deliver. But today, he was going to deliver Israel. But today is the third day. And we have not seen anything. Wow. You see, after this time, they were not in Jerusalem. So they didn't know that the news had gone out. That the gentleman cannot be found in a tomb. And so they were worried. Now, my concern is over here. He which should have redeemed Israel. In other words, up until this time, they still did not understand that what Jesus came to do was not a physical job, but a spiritual job. In John 16:38, Jesus told Pilate that my kingdom that they are talking about is not physical. It's a spiritual thing. I'm not interested in your throne. I'm from heaven. I'm here to do a spiritual work. Yes, I'm here to deliver. But not to save you from slavery under Romans. By that time, Israel were slaves under Romans. Hello, are you listening to me? By that time, Israel, they were slaves under Romans. Romans had conquered the whole world. And Caesar was the emperor. So they were thinking that another deliverer will come. Just like Pharaoh conquered them. And God raised a deliverer by name Moses. Moses also prophesied that in the days to come, God will raise another another prophet who is like me. In other words, who is like Moses. And that means that he will be able to deliver them from another kingdom. So they were thinking that if you can turn bread and multiply it, if you can walk on the sea, if you did all these miracles, then Charlie, you are the one Moses is talking about. That means that you have to save us from Caesar. You have to deliver us from Caesar. So that was their mindset. So now go back to Acts chapter 1. So that is why the disciples, after Jesus resurrected, they had a meeting with him. They said, boss. And they were worried. And they said, Charlie, is it the time? We thought, that is why the other disciples said, we thought that he would have delivered from all this slavery. Now listen to me. The children of Israel, because of the prophecy Moses gave, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, that God was going to raise someone like him, a deliverer, and a prophet, they were always anticipating his coming. That is why the Bible said the day he turned, the bread and multiplied it. The Bible said the people wanted to make him a king. And that means that he has to fight against Caesar for their freedom. So the Bible said immediately Jesus sat in the boat and left, because the people wanted to make him king. And still some of them chased him to the other side. And then the Bible said Jesus asked them, do you follow me because of the bread I gave you? He said that there is a bread that I will give you. It is my own body. Are you ready to chew my own body? The Bible said after Jesus told them that, they became offended and they left. So all their mind was that they are waiting for the son of David, the one who will come from the root of David, who will come and deliver them from Caesar. And Jesus has come. And they are seeing the power. Raw power. So they were thinking that Jesus was going to rebel against Caesar so that he will be able to save them as the king. But Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Else my soldiers would have fought. Come on, clap your hands for the Lord. Now, for you to understand what I'm saying very, very well, that is why in John chapter 12, everybody, are you ready? Should I show you something? Oh, hello, should I show you something? I want to open your eyes a little. In John chapter 12, go with me. So John chapter 12. Let's start from around verse 13. Now, when you read from verse 11, everybody listen. Let me give you the background a little. When you read from verse 11, Jesus had resurrected Lazarus in chapter 11. And the news has spread that there is a certain prophet who has come and he has been doing wonders, and even he has resurrected Lazarus. And hear me, Lazarus' funeral was a popular funeral. A lot of people were there. That's why when Jesus went there, Jesus went. And Jesus said, Lord, I know you hear me for the sake of these people. And then Jesus resurrected Lazarus. So the Bible says in chapter 11, when you read from verse 46 down, that the people were worried because of the news that had gone out that Jesus has anything, and everybody knew that he has been buried for 4 days. And according to the Jewish culture, if you die for 4 days, you are really dead. It means that you are properly, it's not coma, you are properly dead. So they had buried him, bound him, and the Jews, they don't put you in a casket with rings and all those things you have been wasting money on. They will bind you like loaf of bread, like meat. So they bound him. And you see, the tomb is not like your tomb. As for that one, it is like a cave. And for you to enter into the cave, you have to descend. Back, 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 and enter. So for Jesus to stand Everybody, are you here with me at all? For Jesus to stand outside and command that Lazarus come forth.
Sorry?
For Lazarus to resurrect, it means that number one, his spirit must be called either from heaven or hell. That's the first miracle. Number two, his body that is rotting, his heart, his lungs, his kidneys, instantly must be recreated. It means that the sickness that killed him must also be healed. These are the miracles in raising the dead. But Jesus just commanded appear. And Lazarus, who was buried, with all the bandage around him, the Bible says that he just got up and started hopping. Started hopping. Because he didn't have the eyes to walk. They are bound him. He could not walk this way. They are bound him. But the guy appeared by the word of Jesus. That means that he has to bounce up and he has to hop and climb the thing like that. For him to come out of the tomb, the people have not seen such a miracle before. So the news went everywhere. So the Bible said that people heard that this man in chapter 12 was coming. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on him because of Lazarus. Many went and believed in Jesus. That Charlie, after this miracle here, there is nothing the Pharisees will tell us. Whether he is from Baal-Zabub, whether he is a fetish priest, this miracle our eyes they see. This one, say, if you're authentic, say you're authentic. The miracles are silences. I'm telling you, they silence critics. Verse 4. On the next day, much people, or many people, that were come to the festival, when they heard that Jesus, the same person they have been talking about, was coming to Jerusalem, look at what happened. They took branches. Everybody watch here. They took branches of palm tree, and they went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna.
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 Blessed is he, or blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, around that time, if someone is giving a palm branch
or
palm front, when he's giving that kind of palm thing, what you use for Hosanna, it means that you are an athlete who have won the race. Or you are a warrior who have conquered and won. Or you are a king who have gone for battle and you are coming back. So your people will come and they will meet you. That you are victorious, you are the savior, you are the deliverer, you are the winner. That was what palm branches were used for. It is a sign of victory. It's a sign of someone who has conquered. It's a sign of, that is what they do today with red carpet. In those days, there was nothing like red carpet. There was palm branches. They would put it down to show that the king has conquered and is coming. And they will be celebrating the winner. They use palm branches. Now, I'm going to show you something. The Bible said when Jesus was coming, they took the palm tree or the palm fronds, the way you have been doing it, and they started waving it, which shows that there is victory. Which shows that a new king is coming. Which shows that a king that has conquered is coming. Listen, as at this time, they were still thinking that he was going to take over from Caesar. Never forget that. They were still thinking he was going to fight and take over from Caesar. So they took their palm branches and they started waving. And the Bible said they cried. In other words, they shouted, Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Now, what is the meaning of Hosanna?
Hosanna,
this English word, is from a Hebrew word that is Hosanna. And Hosanna is the Greek word Hosanna. And that is what the English call Hosanna.
Now,
walk with me. Now, what is the meaning of Hosanna? When a Hebrew say Hosanna, he means save us. He means deliver us. He means rescue us. He means you are our savior. It means you are our deliverer. That's the meaning of Hosanna. Somebody said, Pastor, how do you know that? Let's take a journey to Psalm 118. Quickly, go with me, verse 25. So we'll see the exact thing here. They shouted, everybody read, one go. Save now. If it's a new kingdom, they will bring exclamation sign. That's all that they shouted. This is the prophecy about the thing we just read. That a time will come into happen. What did the prophet say? He said, save now. I beseech you. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. I beseech you. Send now prosperity. Everybody says, save now. Come on, say, save now. Now, let's see the one they are talking about. Verse 26. It said, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Come on, is this familiar? Is this still familiar? Is this still familiar? So they said, save now. Everybody says, save now. So when you shout Hosanna, what you are saying is that, save us now. I prophesy into your life that this season of Easter, may the Lord save you now. May the Lord deliver you now. May the Lord rescue you now. May the Lord deliver you now. Shout save now. Come on, shout save now. Not tomorrow, say now. Your prosperity will appear now. Your deliverance will appear now. Your blessing will appear now. Your salvation will appear now. Shout save now. That is the meaning of Hosanna. Tell somebody, that is the meaning of Hosanna. How many of you didn't know the meaning of Hosanna? Welcome to rescue. Say Hosanna. Say save us. Oh God. Save now. To our Savior. To our deliverer. That was what they were doing. So at that time, when Jesus appeared on the donkey, they all said, no, this must be the deliverer. This is the one Moses is talking about. So they all went to their homes and looked for the palm branches. And looked for the palm branches. Do you know why? So when they came out of Egypt, in Leviticus, the Lord commanded them to prepare palm branches and celebrate a festival of deliverance. And they are supposed to wave the palm branches. So every time they lift up the palm branches, they remember the deliverance of Egypt. And this time around, they are expecting deliverance from the Romans. So when they saw what Jesus was doing, come on, this got to be the guy. This is the next Moses. This is the Messiah. This is the one we are looking for. So they went and they are bad and they are dancing and go and they all brought palm branches and they put it down. They said, you are the Savior. You are Hosanna. You are the Savior. You are Hosanna. You are the deliverer. You can deliver from the power of Caesar. You can deliver from the power of Caesar. How do you know this one? Why are you making a story out of it? Go to John chapter 11. Go to verse 46. The Pharisees will explain to you the danger. The danger of somebody who is receiving Hosanna. It has a meaning. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. Those people who saw the miracle of Lazarus. They went to report to the Pharisees. Have you seen a dead body hopping out of the So they went to tell the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Next. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? But this man does many miracles. What are we doing about it? Then they started bringing ideas. This guy,
we can't stop him anymore. There is nothing we can say about him anymore. In that verse 48. If we let him, if we allow him alone, all men will believe in him. They're having a meeting about Jesus. The Pharisees. They say, if we leave this gentleman alone, everybody will believe in him. And the Romans. Everybody, watch it. Watch it. Watch the secret. The reason why the Pharisees are afraid is not because they hated Jesus, but because Jesus was except to the Romans, and that means Caesar will come and kill all of them. So they were afraid of Caesar. That is why they couldn't accept Jesus. Hello, am I serious? I'm speaking here. They said if we allow him, the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. Because this man, everybody see him as the next king, the deliverer. Verse 49. Watch it. And one of them, whose name Caiaphas, everybody say Caiaphas. This thing I mentioned yesterday. One of them who is called Caiaphas, who was the high priest. That same year, he got the idea. He said, you know nothing at all. You people, you don't yet know what was. Next. He said, no, consider what is expedient for us. You people, you don't know what is good for us. He says that it is better that one man should die for all the nation than for the Romans to come and kill all of us because of one man. This statement is a statement from the Old Testament. When God wanted to kill the whole land, firstborn to die, he told every family, provide one goat. It is better for your goat to die than for your people in the house to die. Every year the priest in Israel, the high priest, will have to take a goat and carry the sins of all the nations and transfer it on that goat. The Jewish call it the scapegoat. And you hold the scapegoat. And you will drag the scapegoat. You will drag the scapegoat and take him to the outskirts. Far away. A forbidden forest. And then you go and kill it and leave it. Because he carries the sin. Listen to me. That is why Jesus was not killed in the center of Jerusalem. Jesus is the goat that carried our sin. He was taken to Golgotha. He was taken to Calvary. Calvary is an outskirts. It is far away from the town. Because in the Old Testament, the goat must be taken far away to the old, far away town. And that was where he was going to be killed. Because the Bible says that behold the Lamb of God. That takes away the sins of the world. So that was Jesus. So over here, the high priest, in their new days, still have the power to take the goat. But this time around, God doesn't want a physical goat. God wants a living human being. So it means that the high priest must declare judgment on a particular human being who must carry the sins of the nation. Am I revealing something to you? So on that day, as the high priest, he didn't know he was doing his work. He thought he was planning evil. Very soon, the things your enemies will sit and plan, it will be for your own good. It will be for your own good. Whatever they meant for evil, God will mean it for good. God will use it for your good. Shout your loudest amen. They will sit down to gossip about you. And your gossip will make your husband come and look for you. And the gossip will make your boss come and promote you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. So he said, don't you know? He said, it is better that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to die. Verse 51. And this spoke he not of himself. In other words, he said this, didn't know that
It was not he who was speaking. He didn't know. He thought he's planning evil. But he didn't know that God has taken over his tongue. So in the midst of your enemies, God still has the final say. I said, God still has the final say. Sit down shortly with me. And the Bible said, when he said this, he was not conscious of himself. But, everybody watch here. But being the high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. He didn't know he was doing his work. He didn't know what Aaron did is what he's doing. He didn't know that this Jesus is the Lamb of God. Are you following the story? So over here, the Pharisees understood.
And
for people to hold Hosanna, Hosanna. It means the guy is taking over as the king. It means he's the Christ. It means he's the anointed one. It means he's the Messiah. It means he's the king. And as the king, they were thinking physically that just as Moses delivered them, so Jesus must save them from the Romans. So they were all afraid that the Romans would attack them. So now let us roll the pages and go back to chapter 12. And that is why in chapter 12, they lifted up the palm branches and they were shouting, Hosanna!
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 Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, blessed is the Messiah. Blessed is our Messiah. Blessed is our King. And Hosanna means save us. Save us from Caesar. Save us from Caesar. Save us from the Romans. Save us from Caesar. Say Hosanna. Come on, shout Hosanna. Come on, shout Hosanna. Hosanna means deliverance. It means salvation. It means to save. It means to rescue. Shout Hosanna. You have been saved from sin. I said this week, every addiction that has held you to today, you are going free by the power of Hosanna. By the power of Hosanna, you are being released from today. Every sin in your life, every appetite of drinking, every appetite of smoking, every appetite of fornication, you are released. Hosanna! You are released. Hosanna! You are released. Shout amen. Shout Hosanna. Clap your 2 hands for the Lord. Say work it. Wow. Say work it. Come on, say work it. So that was what the people were talking about. They said, we thought he would have saved us from Romans. They said, so young man, when will you restore the kingdom? Now you are talking about going back to your father. And we are still slaves. The way you met us. When are you going to restore the kingdom? Because they always thought it was a physical way. But let me tell you, the salvation of the Lord is a spiritual salvation which eventually manifests physically. But you have to first be saved in the spiritual realm before it will manifest physically. And this is the salvation Jesus brought. Now look at the salvation or the deliverance. As the Messiah, he came to deliver us, to redeem us. To deliver us from what? To deliver us from sin. From death. From sickness. From poverty. These are the things he came to deliver us. Not from garment. He didn't come to deliver us from Asantehene. He's not interested in those small, small things. He came to deliver us from the thing that we can't stop. From the thing we are struggling to stop. From the devil that has taken over our life. Receive deliverance where you are. Receive deliverance where you are. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Colossians 1 verse 13. Go with me quickly. Colossians 1 13. It said, who has delivered us? Everybody read with me. One go. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Did he say from Gamanche? Did he say from MTM boss? Did he say from green cobalt?
It's
not a human being thing. Who has come to deliver us from the power of darkness. I command every darkness in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. Let it be broken. In the name of Jesus. Who has come to deliver us from the power of darkness and has translated us. How many of you did mathematics? I know that this gentleman is a good teacher. So remember translation. Remember translation. You know the principle involved in translation. How sometimes X, Y can turn into Y, X. Something must be done to it, isn't it? For it to turn into YX. That is what Jesus Christ did. He came to do something about our sinful situation so that he would translate us. It is by divine calculation. It is by divine calculation. He took away our sin and he gave unto us his righteousness. That is what we call translation. And so we became the righteousness of God. The Bible says that he delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I don't care the sin you have committed. I don't care the sin you have committed. I don't care how long you have committed that sin. I don't care how long you have committed that sin. I don't care what people are saying about you. They may say you have committed abortion. I don't care about it. They may say you are the area thief. I don't care about it. They may say you are the drunkard. You sleep in gutters. I don't care about it. I don't care about the number of girls you have slept with. I don't care the number of boys you have slept with. I don't care that you have consulted. I know a Jesus. I know a man. I know a Jesus. I know a man. He will translate you. He will transfer you. He will change your life and bring you into the kingdom of his own son. Clap your hands and shout amen. Shout amen. Shout amen. Say deliverance. Tonight you have deliverance. Deliverance from poverty. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Clap your 2 hands for the reading. Say three things. Say three things. Jesus delivered us from. Number one. Sin. Come on, say sin. Come on, say sin. Come on, say sin. Say Jesus delivered me from my sin. Every sin I have committed. Romans 8, the verse number 2. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. If you are here and you are struggling to stop drinking alcohol, this is your scripture. If you are here, you are struggling to stop fornication. You are struggling to stop stealing, to stop sinning. This is your medicine. Except for the law of the spirit of life. That means there is a law in Christianity. That is what we call the law of the spirit of life. It is the law that comes into play when Jesus comes to your life. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is the wages of sin is death. That means that there is a law that can deliver you from the sin you commit and the punishment for your sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you don't understand. I'm saying there is a law in Jesus that can deliver you from the man you killed and the punishment for killing. In other words, when you become born again, it doesn't matter what you have done. The punishment is cancelled. Say my punishment is cancelled. Say my punishment is cancelled. Say my punishment is cancelled. The power that is in Christ, it is the only answer to the power that makes you sin. It's like you are committed to fornication. If you are committed to fornication, there is a power that controls you. When you see a beautiful girl, then that power starts working. Then that power starts moving. Then that power will tell you, go and do it. Go and do it. Go and do it. Go and do it. When you see money and you are a thief, there's a power of sin that pushes you. Take your money. Take your money. Take your money. So you can go out and you come back again. So this money is still there. Then you go out. Then you come again. What is bringing you back? It's called the power of sin. Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He said there is a law in my members, in my body, that is fighting against the law in my spirit. The law in my spirit is to do good. But the law in my body organ is to drink alcohol, is to smoke weed, is to fornicate. That is the law in my members. But he said, what a wretched man like me. For the things that I want to do, I am unable to do. Because of that law. Listen to me. It is because of the law of sin. That is why every 31st, you come to God. February. You enter into the club. 3rd January. You go back to your fornication room. As if you are not the person who wanted to serve God. It is called the law of sin. That one, it is not you. It pushes you to do it. It makes you want to do it. It forces you to do it. But there is a solution. The solution is that when you accept Jesus, when you accept Jesus, a new law enters into you. It is what we call grace. Everybody say grace. Everybody say grace. When you become born again, to now receive grace. And the grace of God is able to tell you and give you the power that even though there is money, I will not take it, man. Even though a beautiful girl, I will not sleep with you, man. Even though there's alcohol, I will not drink it, man. It is called grace. Come on, say grace. The Bible says the grace of the Lord that saves us from sin, that leads to righteousness, has appeared to all men. Has appeared to all men. How does it work? Teaching us. Teaching us. So the grace of God is not for you to prove. The grace of God teaches you what I'm doing tonight. I'm giving you grace. I'm giving you grace. I'm teaching you so that when you see, you know what to do. So the grace of God teaching us that avoiding all ungodliness, we may become like unto Him. Can I have an amen, somebody? From today, receive the grace of God. May the spirit of life work for you. Amen. I can't hear you at all. May the spirit of life work for you. You are being delivered from fornication. You are being delivered from smoking. You are being delivered from masturbation. There are some of you who watch pornography. You are being delivered from pornography. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Shout Hosanna. Shall save us, Lord. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Are you getting me? Number two thing is saved us from. Aside your sins, listen to me. That is why don't run away from this table. Because this is the sign of the blood. If you have committed any sin, this is what you need. So when we are taking the communion, forget all the bad things you have done. Forget all the bad things you have done. And go for the blood. This is the spirit of the life that is in Christ. It will give you the power to overcome. The power to overcome. Some of you are in love with some foolish boys and girls. Some foolish girl beast just eating your money and making you spirit-filled boy, tongue-speaking boy. You keep fornicating and coming to the altar. Then you go and fornicate. One small girl
That small girl.
One small boy.
That small boy.
With piercings and tattoos.
Our tattoo.
It's the reason why you are not serving God. Because I'm in love.
I'm in love.
You are in what?
What?
You are in prison, not low.
Oh, prison.
Say preach.
Say preach.
You are in prison, not low.
What's that?
May you take your destiny into your hands. May you say no. Shout no. Say no more. No more oppression. No more sin. No more oppression. Say Hosanna. Say Hosanna. Say Hosanna. Say us Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord. The number two thing that Jesus delivered us as the Messiah, delivered us from, is sickness. Everybody say sickness. If you are sick in any part of your body, this is the reason why you must not be sick. 1 Peter 2:24. He said he by himself, by his own body. He didn't use somebody's body. He didn't use a goat. He didn't use a sheep. The Bible said by his own self, he bore our sins. He carried our sins. He carried our sins on the cross. On the cross. That we, say we, who were dead to our sins, should live unto righteousness. From today, after the communion table, you will be a good boy, dear. You will be a good girl, dear. You will be a good wife, dear. Your character will change, dear. It will be like magic, say magic. It will be like magic, say magic. I said, hey, now wait here. I saw you bear no coin as the son in the life of the son. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Say, mercy, Zambia.
Say, mercy, Zambia.
May you be a one.
May you be a one.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
I'm prophesying to some people. I'm telling you. People come and ask you, where did you go to? People tell you, I'll follow you to your church. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. A lot of people have followed people to this church. They just wanted to see me. They thought I am the one who is doing it. I'm not the one. I only introduced them to Jesus. But people come to see that I want to see that your church. I'm not the one. I only introduce you to him. I give you the grace. I teach you for you to have the grace. Should live unto righteousness. But now, everybody, if the Bible is, if it's not yours, look, you can't underline the screen. So underline something in your Bible. By whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes I was healed. Say, by whose stripes we were healed. In other words, you see, he didn't use ah. The word over here is not ah. I is a present continuous word. He used the word where, and if you have gone to school a little, you know that where means it's in the past. That means that before you became sick, your healing was already paid for. The blood of Jesus paid for your healing. Bible said by his stripes you were healed. So the day Jesus was caught,
yes, you know,
God wanted to make us healed forever and ever. So when they gave me one stripe, it is for your malaria. One stripe, it is for HIV. One stripe, it is for ulcer. One stripe, it is for fever. One stripe, it is for gonorrhea. One stripe, it is for syphilis. One stripe, it is for any sickness. One stripe. I command that you no more be sick. You no more be sick. You no more be sick. The louder your amen, the better you are. The louder your amen, the better you are. Say, I cannot be sick. Say, I refuse it. Say, I refuse it. I cannot be sick. Sickness cannot stay in my body. Listen, do you believe what you are saying? Say, I declare sickness cannot stay in my life. Jesus took it away on the cross. By stripes I was healed. I was healed. So before you had gonorrhea, you were healed. Before you had HIV, you were healed. Before you had anything, you were healed. That means that God gave you the malaria injection. We call something immunization. How many of you know immunization? How many of you know immunization? When you give birth to a child, you immunize the child against polio. Against these killer diseases. Polio and those kind of other diseases. Now, that thing it is called immunization. Now, she says, Yawaw at home, say the bear, pull you in Mwawano eba, a big shia, a drone, a woo, and unti eight Jesus Christ, your Yama Yanise, he immunized us against all sickness 2,000 years ago. So, when you go and the doctor tells you that you have HIV, you tell the doctor, I have been immunized against it. When they tell you that you have heart problem or you feel pains in your heart, you should look at yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, get out of my body. Jesus paid for my sickness. Get out of my body. Jesus immunized me. Get out of my head. Get out of my leg. Sickness, leave. Ask somebody, do you understand? Ask somebody, do you understand? You wake up from the bed. And when you wake up, your head, your shoulder, your knee, your legs, you can't walk. It's not a good day. Nobody help me. Nobody help me. I'm sick. You are a colo Christian. You are a colo. You don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. When you get up and your body says, my stomach, my heart, my head, you say you are a liar. You say you are a liar. You say you are a liar. Have you forgotten? 2,000 years ago, I was healed. I was healed. I was healed. I cannot be sick. I cannot be sick. I cannot be sick. Watch me, everybody, watch me. You will never visit me at the hospital. I'm telling you. You will never have the cough to visit me in my house. It will never happen. So I die and leave your head. Why? Because by the time the sickness is coming, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is working in me. Working in me. Working in me. Your sickness is leaving. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are sick, I command upon this revelation, let the sickness disappear. Let your sickness disappear. Let your sickness disappear. Let your sickness disappear. Receive your healing. You are healed. You are healed. You are healed. Shout amen. Clap your 2 hands for the Lord. Tell somebody, from today, the pharmacist will not get your money again. Say from today, the hospital will not get your money again. Say you are healed. Never to be sick. Listen to me. If you want us to pity you, oh, Pastor, want us to pity you. Want us to pity you. Want us to have mercy on you. Say no. No more nonsense. No more nonsense. I am free from today. When you see any symptoms, you see that your temperature is changing, lay hands on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every name will pass. So you command in the name of Jesus, get out of my body, get out of my leg, get out of my head, get out of my heart, and you see that you are free. The devil knows you don't know the secret. The devil knows you don't know. That is why the devil is on guard over you. And pastors are taking your money.
Pastors, hey, you.
Doctors are chopping your money.
Aquantila,
Aquantila. What is the name of Jesus there for? What is the name of Jesus for? At the mention of the name Jesus. Some of you have been following me. You have heard and seen great miracles. Which of them did I use Aquantila? Which of them did I administer something? Say never. Peter didn't do that. Paul didn't do that. James didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said, silver or gold? Have I none? Silver or gold for your hospital bills? I don't have. Daddy, in Kencho. Mintao, Scapio, in Kaya Hospital. Silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have. Such as I have. Such as I have. Give I unto you. Receive healing. Receive divine health. From today, sickness can't stay in your blood. Sickness can't stay in your blood. Their pains are disappearing. Their pains are disappearing. Receive it. They say, I have a few people. Make us say, I have a few. Obun Samu said, Yachin is secret, Anna, and I any ya. And then I'm first time in the secret, because the devil thrives in ignorance. When you don't know that the food is yours, you'll be begging for it. Of course, a giant is the kitchen, Pastor Mammy Binamin dear, come with me, Mammy Binamin dear, but you don't know, say, oh, Mammy, come my kettle, or the Lucy Homao. In Kaunima, hey, my friend, a giant, I went for. You see, knowledge of the truth gives you audacity to claim. The reason why you cannot curse sickness to leave, for the sickness to go, you are not sure of yourself. Like you are trying. You are not sure. You are not sure. You are not sure. The other day, Jesus prayed for a certain man. He said, receive your healing. Then he asked the man, can you see? The man said, I'm seeing human beings like trees. But listen, who are you? Who are who said human beings are trees? Who are who are there? Who are then describing tree? Hey! I think, then Jesus said, come here again. Receive your healing again. In other words, when you pray for the first time and it doesn't go, the devil wants to try whether you really believe. Cast it again. Ask it to leave again. Tell it to go again. I've been doing that till today. I've been doing that. I hardly get sick and take medicine. Hardly. You hardly hear that. What for? I will cast it. I will get it to disappear. Some of you don't know, when my wife joined our church, she used to wear spectacles, big ones. Like what this girl. I've known her with spectacles from school. The guy didn't watch television without spectacles. Until she encountered rescue. And when I prayed for her, she threw away that spectacles. So today she's seeing clearly without spectacles. She can watch telly without spectacles. Amen. Receive your healing. Declare it over your life till you see it. There was one man of God, Archbishop Benzin, that was of blessed memories. He woke up one morning, his leg spoke, cannot get up. And then he checked his leg. His leg was not moving. And then he knew the secret I'm telling you. He looked at her. He said, you this my leg. I don't know about you. As for me, I'm going to the office. If you want to, follow me. Somebody say, follow me. And the stroke disappeared just like that. So when you wake up and your hand says, you say, you this my hand. I don't know about you. But as for me, I'm going to write it down. If you want to, follow me. Say, if you want to, follow me. Your faith will work. Receive it. Clap your hands. Receive it. clap your two hands for the Lord. Lastly, He saved us from poverty. He saved us from poverty. Some of you, your great grandfather, poor. Your grandfather, poor. Your father, poor. Your uncles, poor. Your step uncles, poor. Everybody in your life, poor. Aden. Kata Aden. Aden. Aden of poverty at you, Fiafasa. There is nobody in your house. I bet you might have a child for 20 million. Nobody in your house. Poor family. But you are going to change the history of the family. It is only those who believe it who receive it. I said you are going to change the history of your family. That is why God has made you a born again very early. Because you are going to change the wheel. Change the cycle. Receive prosperity. Receive prosperity. Go to 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Look at what Jesus did on the cross. Some of you thought it is just for you to go to heaven. It is also for you to be rich. The salvation message includes prosperity, if you want to know. Salvation is from the word soteria. And soteria means good health, deliverance or rescue. And it means prosperity. So there can't be a complete gospel without prosperity. Zechariah 1:17 says, by prosperity his cities shall spread. So the Christian life without prosperity will be frustration. That's what one man of God said, anointing without money will lead to annoyance. Everybody watch it. This is your receipt for prosperity. If you ever wake up and there is poverty, you smell poverty around. You don't even have money to even pay for what you need. Come on, that thing is changing from tonight. For you know the grace of our Lord. Say the grace of our Lord. That's what Jesus brought. The Bible said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. John 1:17. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:9. That though he was rich. Listen, so before Jesus came, he was what? Come on, he was what? He created the whole world. He became a human being. We call his name Jesus. But he in heaven is he's God. The one you know as God. So though he was rich, yet for your sake, say for my sake. Say for my sake. And not mean to know. Even though said no with Kappa, but I'm not meaning, or by Yasu Bayadin, Uhini. Tell me, I'm Mr. Yohini. Tell me, I'm Mr. Medina. Kata Davida. Yes, 1 year here for said about Usube here for. But I said, who said that Yesu born a bra, Yesu no Uchi donkey, and now Uchi Bentla. Now come in today. Mentitico. Meti Lancusa. Meti Bentley. Meta Dibatabu. What are you talking about? How many of you want Range Rover? Receive the new edition. Receive the new edition. If you are too righteous, you'll be a poor person. Listen to me. There are two ways to make it to heaven. You can either go as poor Lazarus or go as rich Abraham. But if you care to know, Lazarus had to catch in Abraham's bosom. So poor people are still present in heaven. So will be rich. So will be rich. So will be rich. So will be rich. You will not be a poor Christian. Let us hear what. The works Jesus worked for us, they are in two folds. Jesus, one of the works of Jesus is an exemplary work. That means that he has set example for us to do. This work involves healing the sick. He has done it so that we will learn. Giving to the poor. He has done it so we will learn. So we call it the exemplary life of Jesus. But we have the substitutory life of Jesus. That means that things that Jesus did to replace us so that we will not do it. Number one, dying on the cross. Nobody here needs to die on the cross. Yes, we are crossing. It means we are crossing. So it's not biblical. Yes, you hear me. It's not biblical. Yes, you now only dying. Or say that the foxes and whatever have their home, but the son of man have no home. And no other new key scripture. Oh, here be cool. ẹnu na yẹ scripture awopẹ sẹ yesu krapo na oni dan wusu oni dan ohia bẹ ku yesu atena asi 3 years wo o tena asi 70 years ewi asi ẹbẹ su awọ ti ẹbẹ ti wọn o bẹ repente. Are you listening to me? So the substitutory work no ẹnu nu yesu asọpa amaye sẹ de bẹ ayẹ yẹ nẹ exemplary work no wa yẹ sẹ de bẹ ẹbẹ yẹ. When it comes to poverty and prosperity, Jesus did the substitutory work. He suffered poverty so that we will have something. Yet, for your sake, he became poor. That ye, through his poverty, might be poor. Oh, might be poor. Oh, might be poor. Might be what?
Rich.
Might be what?
Rich.
So if Jesus became poor, for you also become poor, it means that you have made useless the grace of God. One man say, "What say ni sika kwa?" Hey, ask him. Do you understand? That means that poverty is breaking from your life forever. Receive. Poverty is leaving you forever.
Amen.
The poverty of your father's house will not be your portion.
Amen.
The poverty of your mother's house will not be your portion.
Amen.
Receive it now.
Receive.
Clap your 2 hands for the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Prince Laye. If you have been blessed by this message but have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko. For more information, please call 054-324-8982 or 024-1372-895. God richly bless you.